right, everybody, welcome back to the Drive Time Show. We're going to start by comparing, we're going to start this half hour by comparing a couple of interesting verbs in a section we call What's the Difference?
Like, at, make, do, go, come, take, bring.
What's the difference?
All right, well, today's What's the Difference? I'm answering yet another question that came in by request. Because I'm a nice guy, right? Porque yo soy así. I'm a nice guy, right, Juanjo? Intento contestar a todo el mundo. I try my best. You know, I'm here to help you out. I'm here to help you, folks. And today's question was about say and tell. Say and tell, okay? Now, we have a few differences here, but basically, the biggest difference is the way these appear grammatically. We're talking about the verb decir in Espanol. To say, decir, o emitir sonidos inteligibles. Whereas to tell is more decir o contar. Ah, okay. So think of this grammatically. Say something. Say your name. Say something to someone. Say something to someone. Tell someone something. Tell me something. Tell my brother the news. Tell my brother what you heard. Tell the neighbor about the news. Right? Tell someone something. Say something to someone. Now, we do have a couple of exceptions. For example, we say a prayer. Una oración. Say a prayer. But to tell the truth. Decir la verdad. Tell the truth. Tell a lie. Say a prayer. Say your name. Say something. Okay? So, di tu nombre. Say your name. Dime tu nombre. Tell me your name. No dijeron nada. They didn't say anything. No nos dijeron nada. They didn't tell us anything. ¿Cuándo vas a decírselo? When are you going to say it? ¿Cuándo vas a decírselo a ellos? When are you going to tell them? ¿Qué dice la gente? What are the people saying? Di lo que quieras. Say whatever you want. Cuenta un chiste. Cuenta un chiste. Tell a joke. Tell a joke, exactly. Di la verdad, tell the truth. Dime la verdad, tell me the truth. ¿Qué te han dicho? What did they tell you? No me digas. No me digas. You don't say. You don't say. That's an expression, okay? So here, hopefully this makes sense. It's really a question of grammar and how you place them, right? So say something to someone, tell someone something. Now, the verb to tell also has another sense, which is distinguir, diferenciar, to tell the difference, or I can tell. When I speak Spanish, people can tell that I'm not from Spain. People can tell that I'm a foreigner. Right? ¿Cómo sabes que estoy cansado? Pues lo noto. How do you know that I'm tired? Oh, I can tell. Se nota, you can tell. Right? So we have that use. And then also to tell the difference, distinguir. I can tell the difference between Coke and Pepsi. Coca-Cola and Pepsi. Can you tell the difference? ¿Puedes distinguir entre la Coca-Cola y la Pepsi? Can you tell the difference? You try. Coke. Pepsi. Yeah, I can tell the difference. I can also tell the difference between Spanish Coca-Cola and Canadian Coca-Cola. Very different flavor. Very different. I can tell the difference. Distinguir. Right? To tell the difference. To tell things apart. Another way to say it. To tell apart is to tell the difference. Like between two twins. Entre los dos gemelos? Can you tell the difference between the two twins? Oh, yeah, yeah. Because Paco has a bigger nose than Pepe. Whatever, right? To tell the difference. To distinguish. All right? Okay. There we go, folks. I think it's time to move on, Juanjo. Let's go ahead.
Drive Time Fraselburg.
Oh, it's that time of the show, everybody. It's time for the Drive Time Phrasal Verb. To come up with is our phrasal verb today. To come up with. Now, remember, I always say the same thing, poco a poco, eh? With these phrasal verbs. Poco a poco. You have to study one or two a day. Don't try to learn 50 in a day. It's demasiado. Poco a poco. Right? All right. One phrasal verb for today. To come up with. Que es sugerir. Proponer, idear un plan. So to come up with an idea, we need to come up with a solution. We need to think of a solution, to come up with a solution, to find or discover through thought, to come up with. Did you come up with any good ideas yesterday? Oh, yes, Kyle, I came up with several good ideas yesterday. Have you come up with any good ideas so far today? Yes, I've come up with many good ideas so far today. Who came up with the idea of the telephone? Alexander Graham Bell came up with the idea of the telephone. Did Thomas Edison come up with a lot of good ideas? Yes, Thomas Edison came up with a lot of good ideas. Do you sometimes come up with new recipes? Yes, I sometimes come up with new recipes. You see what I'm doing? I'm just repeating it many, many times. In different tenses, machacándolo, drilling it in. Not just trying to memorize it, but trying to internalize. Don't memorize, internalize, folks. That's what I want you to do. Ask me if I came up with a good idea last week. Ask me, pregúntame. Hey, Kyle, did you come up with a good idea last week? Yes, I came up with a good idea last week. Ask me if I like coming up with ideas. Kyle, do you like coming up with ideas? Yes, I love coming up with ideas. Ask me if I'm glad that they came up with the idea for this course. God, are you glad that they came up with the idea for this course? Yes, I'm glad that they came up with the idea for this course. Can you come up with answers for all my questions? Yes, I can come up with answers for all your questions. Are you trying to come up with plans for next weekend? Yes, I'm trying to come up with plans for next weekend. Ask me if I've already come up with good plans for the weekend. Kyle, have you already come up with good plans for the weekend? Yes, I've already come up with good plans for the weekend. So I've just said this phrasal verb about 20 times. Hopefully it sinks in, another phrasal verb, but hopefully it has become internalized a little bit and you feel comfortable with this phrasal verb to come up with.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for today's Weird News.
Weird News, everybody. It's time for Weird News, and the news comes from Georgia. Not the country of Georgia, but the American state of Georgia, where a teacher is being rewarded for reading the fine print. La letra pequeña. We don't say the small letters, we say the fine print in a legal document. So what happened was a Florida company put a secret contest onto the last page of a travel insurance policy. And a woman found it. She actually read the fine print, entered the contest, and won $10,000. So a Florida insurance company slipped a secret contest onto the last page of its 4,000-word travel insurance policy, never expecting anyone to win it. It was the fine print of Square Mouth's tin leg travel insurance document. It was called, which promised $10,000 to the first person who emailed with their name and insurance policy number. But the company planned to run the contest for a year and then donate the unclaimed prize money to charity. But after just 23 hours, a school teacher from Georgia named Donalyn Andrews wrote in and claimed the prize. Isn't it funny? I guess they didn't realize that Donalyn Andrews from Thomastown, Georgia, who has a degree in consumer economics from the University of Georgia, was so set on reading all of her contracts. So Andrews is a very detailed-oriented high school teacher, had just purchased the insurance plan for a trip to London with her girlfriends, and she printed it off and sat down to read the whole thing. Who does that, right? 40-page insurance document? Who has time to do that? So she says, look, it pays to read. Actually, when she got to the last page, she noticed three words in bold type saying, it pays to read. It pays to read. Underneath it, it said, if you're reading this within the contest period and are the first to contact us, you may be awarded the pays to read contest of $10,000. She said, I immediately sat down at my computer and emailed them my name and phone number, she said. And the very next day, she got a call explaining that she was the winner. The company sent representatives to her school to deliver a giant novelty check. You know, they give you that giant check. Un cheque así enorme. At a ceremony with some of her students in attendance. They said, we understand that most customers don't actually read contracts or documentation when buying something, but we know the importance of doing so. So we created the top secret pays to read campaign in an effort to highlight the importance of reading policy documentation from start to finish. Now, as well as awarding her a prize, they also made an additional $10,000 donation to the literacy charity, called Reading is Fundamental. So there you go. You can read everything, you know, read the fine print, and it sure paid off for me. That's what she said. To pay off, right? It rewarded her. Absolutely. Okay, interesting stuff. So it does pay to read those contracts, everybody. All right, it's time to go back. You know, I like this. We love learning English, but it's also nice to learn history. And let's do that by going back in time. Today in history. Well, we're going back in time to 1988. It was this day in 1988 that the Seikan Tunnel opened in Japan. Yeah, the world's longest train tunnel. Now, 30 years earlier, a typhoon, right, a big storm on the ocean, sank 5 ferry boats in Japan, killing 1,500 people. 1,500. That means somebody here, 1,500. In response to public outrage, the Japanese government searched for a safer way to cross the dangerous strait called the Sugaru Strait, everybody. Now, with such unpredictable weather conditions, engineers agreed that the bridge would be too risky to build. And a tunnel seemed to be a perfect solution. And 10 years later, work began on what would be known as the longest and hardest underwater dig ever attempted. The Seikan Tunnel is the longest railroad tunnel in the world, 53 kilometers long, 250 meters below the sea, and it remains one of the greatest engineering feats, un logro, a feat, an accomplishment of the 20th century. There you go. Now, there's another story. On this day in 1965, a group of of spies sold secrets to Russia on this day in 1965. Five Britons were accused of spying for the Soviets on this day in 1961. Sorry, 1961, not 65, 61. It sounds kind of like a story that could appear in a James Bond movie, but it didn't take place in West Berlin or Washington, D.C., but instead in a small London suburb near the Portland Underwater Weapons Facility. And it was a facility that England was building. They were building their first ever nuclear submarine, and a couple of spies were employed there. Now, these spies, who were using assumed identities, fake identities, they stole top secret information about the submarine, and they took it to their Soviet operatives who had assumed identities and lived in a small, unassuming London house. In this house, the police found wireless receivers powerful enough to transmit the top secret information to the KGB in Moscow. Other searches showed numerous spy gadgets. Things you only hear about in movies, like flashlights with hollow batteries, lipstick with a hollow base, and things like that. So when the story broke in the international media, the group became known as the Portland Spy Ring. All five were arrested and found guilty of conspiring to spy for the Soviets. They were each given 20-year sentences, but were released in other spy swaps, right? Un intercambio. An exchange of spies between the Soviets and the West. Interesting. Now, also on this day, in 1965, Eric Clapton left his band at the time called the Yardbirds. Great band, by the way, the Yardbirds. To pursue other things. And it led for a complicated change of members in that group. When Eric Clapton left the Yardbirds, he did more than just change the course of his own career, but he also set off a series of events that would lead to this kind of becoming a super group of great guitarists. After Eric Clapton left this band, Jeff Beck, who's another one of the all-time greatest guitarists, would join. Jimmy Page, of course, who would later become famous with Led Zeppelin, played in the band as well. And Eric Clapton, he was only 18 when he joined this band, the Yardbirds, in 1963. After the group took over for the Rolling Stones, who were, again, an up-and-coming band at the time, as the house band at a club in London. So London called the Crawdaddy Club. So the Rolling Stones had been a house band there, and they moved on to bigger things, and the Yardbirds took over. And like a lot of English musicians of that generation, Eric Clapton was mostly interested in American blues. And he was a purist about it. So he decided to quit the Yardbirds when they kind of moved away from blues music towards experimental pop with the song For Your Love. You might know that song, 1965. But he said, no, he didn't like it, and he quit the band. So he recommended as his replacement his friend Jimmy Page, who was then an enormously successful session musician. But at the time, Jimmy Page declined. He said, no, they need someone else. So Jeff Beck was hired, and he would serve as their lead guitarist for the most successful and influential period with the band. And in 1965, another of the original members quit, and Jimmy Page finally agreed to join the group, and he teamed up, right? He formed part of the team with Jeff Beck on guitar. So one of the greatest guitar combinations in the history of rock and roll music, Jeff Beck and Jimmy Page in the Yardbirds. So after Clapton moved out, Beck and Page eventually moved on to other things from the Yardbirds. And it was actually after that that Clapton went on to do a band called Derek and the Dominoes. Jeff Beck went on to form the Jeff Beck Group. And Jimmy Page, well, he would form one of the most influential bands the history of hard rock, Led Zeppelin. But actually, apparently, when he wanted to form Led Zeppelin, some members of the Yardbirds were in that band, and they were reforming. And he was going to call the band the New Yardbirds. And someone said, your band is going to fail. It's going to go down like a Led Zeppelin. He said, oh, that's a good name. We'll call our band that. And they called the band Led Zeppelin. And they became, of course, if you know anything about rock and roll, you got to know Led Zeppelin. One of the greatest, like I said, sort of harder rock bands of all time. Okay. There you go. A little rock and roll history for you on the Drive Time show this afternoon. Now, one part of the show I like to do every day, todos los días, we try to do this, a little interactive section, a little challenge, un buen reto. I'm talking about today's interrogative challenge.
Interrogative challenge.
All right, everybody, the interrogative challenge. I'm going to give you the answer. Yo la respuesta y tú luego la pregunta. Qué raro, ¿no? Al revés, así, ¿eh? Así nos gusta. Number one. Yo en voz alta, ¿eh? Y tú también. Bueno, yo, si yo no hablo en voz alta, pues, ¿qué hago? Right? What's the point? I'm a radio host. Number one. She was born in Mississippi. Where was she born? Number two. I think we should leave at 2:00. What time do you think we should leave? Number three. He chose the red one. Which one did he choose? Number four, he's made 3 New Year's resolutions this year. How many New Year's resolutions has he made this year? Propósitos del Año Nuevo, New Year's resolutions. Number five, he did it last week. When did he do it? Number six, working with Morgan is very challenging. What's it like working with Morgan? Oh, it's very challenging. Number seven, the other pair lasted longer. Which pair lasted longer? Number eight. Only Susan can tell what he's saying. Who can tell what he's saying? We practiced with that verb earlier. Who can tell what he's saying? Oh, only Susan. And finally, number 10. The popularity fell after the scandal. When did their popularity fall? Oh, it fell after the scandal. Yes, as it often happens with scandals. There you go. All right. I know it's not easy. It's a tough challenge, but if you work with that every day, you can improve with the interrogative form. I suggest you download today's show from Evox. Go to ivox.com. Evox? I-V-O-O-X. .com, and you can find many, many episodes of this show. Type in Drive Time. No cuesta nada. Drive Time. And you can find it there, and you can practice with those challenges out loud, en voz alta, working with those until they come easy, poco a poco. Okay, I'm out of time. Thanks for listening, everybody. It's been great having you tuned in. I'll be back tomorrow, I promise, with another edition of the Drive Time show. same time, same place. My name's Kyle Miller. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
To Vaughn Radio.
Lengua, un 8, bien, bien. Matemáticas, un 9.5, muy bien. Educación física, un 10, toma ya. Inglés, un 3, Marquitos.
Esta Semana Santa, tráelos a los cursos intensivos de Vaughan para niños. Disfrutarán de sus vacaciones mientras se divierten de verdad. Y aprenden inglés en nuestras clases intensivas de 4 horas diarias, de 4 a 17 años. Infórmate ya en el 911-335-832 o en grupovaughan.com. Clases intensivas para niños y jóvenes en Semana Santa. 911-335-832. Grupovaughan.com.
Si sigues dejando lo del inglés para mañana, es posible que nunca llegues a mejorar. Ahora es el momento perfecto. Descubre el método Vaughan y cambia tu futuro. Mejorarás tu nivel de inglés gracias a unos profesores que te apoyan y te motivan. Grupos reducidos en los que estarás siempre utilizando el idioma. Deja de estudiar inglés y empieza a hablar inglés. Vence al mañana me pongo con Vaughan. Llama ahora al 911-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
Nosotros te damos oportunidad tras oportunidad. Y el 21 de marzo, una nueva, para conocer las claves del éxito. Emprender y liderar. Seminario sobre